on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. Good afternoon. We are live on, we're on Revolution Radio Studio B, Wolf Spirit Radio Studio A, Ever Beyond Radio. And my guest tonight is a returning guest. Previously, we spoke about astrology, but she has more dimensions than just that. So we're going to explore a couple more of those dimensions as we journey with Elizabeth Joyce. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm great. So hasn't the world been bizarre in the last few moments? You know.
Oh, I'm going to say in the last few months, of course. We just had the Pope here in Philadelphia.
All right. And how did that experiment go?
It was wonderful. It really, really was wonderful. We had 1.5 million people and no incidents.
Oh, no. The peace of Rome.
Ooh. That's pretty good.
So, there you are. So, you're in Philadelphia, and you've got a new book out.
I have a new book coming out within 2 weeks. It's called The New Spiritual Chakras and How to Work with Them.
Excellent. Now, I've taken a couple of pictures that you sent me, and I posted them up on my Ever Beyond Radio page. So if people go to www.everbeyondradio.com, and you'll see on the top right it says Elizabeth Joyce, the New Spiritual Chakras. Click on that, and you'll get these nice big pictures, huge pictures. There's a chart, the Sutra and Body Organ chart, which is very interesting. So that's got 12 chakras. Did you hear that, darling? 12 chakras. Sorry.
Actually, there's 13. There's if you count both feet.
Both feet. Oh, that's interesting. There's
yeah,
interesting.
The foot chakras.
Okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Because there's a lot of talk about 12s and things these days. So we'll discuss that further down, I hope. And then you've got another picture, which is the cover of your book, which has your meditating yogi there in his nice loincloth and robe, and there he is, and he's got all these all dots above him like a station. That's like Cock Foster's and Oakwood and all stations north on the Northern Line.
Well, that's where the chakras are placed.
Ah.
That's to show you where they are.
Uh-huh.
For example, the eighth chakra is above the seventh, but the ninth chakra is in the back of the neck.
So,
and it creates a triad. There's an 8.5 chakra that's behind your baby bump almost, and then the ninth chakra, and that creates a triad. And then the ninth chakra goes out to the sixth chakra because there's a line that goes through the brain, piercing the pituitary and pineal gland.
Right, okay.
To activate them, and that's going to create healing, and it's going to create manifestation. We're going to just operate totally differently.
All right, you've got a telephone call.
And no, that's okay.
Okay, so I was going to say, what people call first, second, third depends on your culture and tradition. Is it possible you could name them by position rather than, or by function rather than a number? So rather than say like fifth.
By position, sure.
Yeah. Because I don't get the numbers because there's so many numbers I don't know which one you might be referring
right.
to.
So the seventh chakra is our crown chakra. We know the first seven from the spine all the way up the spine. The root chakra, the second chakra, which is the spiritual chakra, and then the solar plexus, and then the heart. Then we have the throat, and we have the third eye, and we have the crown. Now we're going beyond the crown, about 8 feet above the head, to the eighth chakra.
And 8 feet.
Yeah.
8 feet. So that's quite a way.
It is quite a way. These chakras are part of your spiritual body. So if you have a an idea of what your double is, and you put your double in front of you, they too have chakras. So these are the spiritual chakras of your spiritual body, the one that body travels, the one that goes out of your mind into space, the one that sends healing to other people, the one that can go off the planet or stay on the planet. It's soul travels. This is how Edgar Cayce did his work. So the eighth chakra is above your head, and then you go to the eight and a half chakra, which is just behind the head, and then you drop down to the two occipital bones in the back of your neck. Is the ninth chakra. It goes right in between there. And then...
So is that like what we call the atlas, that point there?
Yes.
The top of the very top of the spine where it joins the skull.
Very top of the spine, correct.
Okay, so that would be mirroring the sacral center of some kind, because that would be another joint into a large bone structure.
Right.
At the other end of the spine.
It is. It's as important as the crown chakra, because it keeps the juices and the light energy of your spine flowing.
Okay.
And the eight and a half chakra brings in the new energy. Jay, here's the most exciting part about this.
Okay.
Everybody raved about 2012. You know, December 21st, 2012. We had this happen.
Everybody
we
was that. Raving about yesterday and nothing happened.
We didn't have anything happen. What we had was a gift from God. What we had was the first time a average human being could access these chakras. And we have a new energy, and it comes from the fifth dimension, and it comes from the double helix in the center of the galaxy, and this energy has now enhanced our aura. So everybody, even cats, dogs, and horses, are walking around with an extra layer to their aura, and the color is amber. And so, therefore, we can draw, like a straw, that powerful energy into our body. But the eight and a half chakra is your filter so that you don't take too much. A lot of people want to get this done, but you can't get it done. It's not McDonald's. It's not something that you can instantly have. This is going to be a 30 to a 50 year process. It's a process. But I do believe that in Atlantis, and I do believe that the yogis that sat on top of our mountains and meditated could access these spiritual chakras. I think this was the great secret that they didn't want us to know. We weren't mature enough to handle this energy. Now it's been given to us. So that's exciting, don't you think?
Yes, indeed. And you've got a very insistent caller there. they won't go away.
I think that this is absolutely a divine gift. It came to me because I sat in front of the hugging saint, Amarita Nandamayi, and I asked her to put a book inside of me. And this all started for me in 2010, and now it has grown. And I have finally been given all of the information, where I was given parts of it, parts at a time, until I could grow to begin to understand it all. So I've written the book.
Okay, so we've so where were we had these we started off with what we thought were seven. Okay,
yes.
And how does that and you're extending one down and there's one at the back and then there's five up.
That's right. You're enhancing the mind. You're enhancing the brain. For the first time, we're going to be able to work with the pituitary and pineal gland. We know that they're important. We haven't really known how important they are. This is going to bring our focus from the base chakra to the mind, the brain. So we're going to be more working out of the brain instead of the base chakra. We're not going to work with Kundalini as much as we're going to work with divine energy. That was the gift of 2012.
So, and this is it. This is the planetary awakening.
Yes.
And perhaps that the Earth herself has her Kundalini rising, and so we don't need to have so much of our own to keep us going.
Well, the Kundalini is the,
because that keeps you alive, you know, it's what keeps you, you know, your body warm and stuff.
But do you know that 95% of the people never wake it up?
Well, that's why we need electric power generators, because it's been sent to sleep. I think it's deliberate. But anyway, that's
the generator is now our brain,
mm-hmm.
and working with the double helix. We even have a new heart chakra, which is chakra 10. That's the new heart center of the universal body. It is so exciting. And you can take the energy from the 10th chakra and bring it down in an arc from the 10th chakra down to the heart chakra and expand your love understanding in the heart center from the 10th chakra. It's so exciting.
So all of these chakras are in an etheric body of something that is much larger than this human being. Is that correct?
The higher self, the universe.
So the higher self is actually like what we'd call a giant.
Well,
in an etheric form,
It's not measurable because it is expandable. Picture it like jelly, like moving jelly. It can go anywhere. It's like fog.
Mm-hmm.
It can go anywhere.
But the chakras, you're saying the chakras, like, you know, what did you say? 18 feet above you? Eight feet above. All right, so that's beyond my ceiling. That's in the attic, right?
That's correct. And that's because it's an antenna. These chakras are like a new antenna that's bringing in an energy. If you think of the work that Nikola Tesla did, and you think of all the radio towers and cell towers that we have now, it's similar to that. We're going into the center of the galaxy with this energy, but it has to be developed. It's like being pregnant and then giving birth. It's not going to come like McDonald's. You're not going to get this tomorrow. There are very, very, very few people that have their eighth chakra working, and I think some of them are gifted healers.
So this is the at what point would you describe the eighth chakra as in terms of which causal body? Are you talking about the soul body, the monadic body? Where does it lie?
The eighth chakra is the only chakra that is within the auric field. All of the other chakras are beyond the auric field.
Okay, so right, that's interesting. So so we got the eighth chakra. So it's taking an energy from the galactic center?
Correct, called the double helix.
Called the double helix. Now,
and
this,
the double helix has a purpose.
Yes.
The double helix is going to awaken our dead DNA. We have 12 strands of DNA. We work with two. The rest of those strands are going to begin to open, and the new babies that are being born, our indigo children, our rainbow children, our crystal children, are born with active extra layers of DNA. And yeah, I think that's part of what autism is about.
Yeah, and I also think that it's like these children know what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
And the reason that they're so cross and sulky, or, you know, you people call it autistic, but it's like it's a silent protest. You idiots. You know, don't you get me?
In another sense, picture this, they are now contained. Instead of being that jelly that can go anywhere, they have come into a physical body, and they are now contained in that, and they get frustrated because they want to go out and do, and they can't go out and do. However, I don't know if you're aware of it, and you may be, that so many of these autistic children are gifted in music. Many of them become piano tuners. And the music, of course, is your math. The music unlocks our blocks if we can get
Indeed.
The right vibration
Indeed.
And the right notes. And we have Richard Shulman doing that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Shulman, richheartmusic.com. He has, and many, many others, I like Mark Halperin too, has done wonders with music and in awakening the soul.
Oh, wow.
So now it all has to come together and get put into words, and it's got to be brought down to the third dimension and extended into the fifth dimension. On 2012, we entered the energies of the fifth dimension.
So when you speak of the fifth dimension, right, we think of regular dimensions as length, width, breadth, space, you know. Length, width, and breadth, that's three. Time is four. So what's five?
Five is depth. so that you can travel in other realities. In other words, so that you can leave your body and go into other realities without harming the physical body. And that's why we have the spiritual chakras.
And is this the reason why people are starting to experience dream time, where they're in a place and everybody knows them?
Yes. Well, they're in a place and everybody knows them. That's their soul school. Their soul school, going back to the pod after you die, you go back to a pod. And that's where all of your brothers and sisters in the pod, or all of your pod mates, have played a part in your life. One may have been your aunt. One may have been your friend. I had a dream once. A convertible was coming by the window of my house. In that convertible was everybody that I had perceived to be an enemy. And they were all waving at me. Nothing happens in our life without having a lesson to be learned. And some people have pretty hard lessons they have to experience. And that's the whole point of forgiving. Mm. If somebody comes into your life, they come into your life for a reason. Every person is your teacher and you're everybody else's teacher. If we could just get that, we'd have more world peace.
If only people would just listen to what I said, everything would be all right, wouldn't it?
I know. Yeah, it would. Because there wouldn't be any ego. There wouldn't have to be this ego that's so destructive, this duality. But we're born in a world of duality, Jay, and we have to work with it. And there are people that can be pretty mean. And there are people that project. For example, I can say a sentence to you and you can hear it one way, or I could say a sentence to you and you could hear it another way. And you might get upset. Or you might not get upset. Everybody hears everything differently. Every person, if you asked one of your friends to tell you about another friend, you'd get their perception. And it might not be what you think of the other friend.
Well, it's like that old phrase, isn't it?
That duality, that's leaving. That's all leaving.
So we won't have people projecting on us anymore.
Correct.
Hooray, hooray, yeah. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
It isn't going to happen right now, but it is. It's in process.
This will take 50 years, will it? All right, okay. All right. I won't hold my breath.
This whole energy to me is awe-inspiring and magical. Each chakra brings you higher gifts. For example, we go to the chart. The eighth chakra brings you compassion, selflessness, telepathy, and spiritual skills. For example, you learn to be more psychic. You learn how to work with others. It might be a time when you begin to do your healing. Then you go to the 8.5 chakra, and that strengthens your aura. It raises your vibration. It holds the fifth dimension energies, and it brings you two things, balance and acceptance. Because this is scary stuff. I have all of it listed in the book. And in the book, there's a chapter that talks about fifth dimension ailments. And it talks about divine headaches. And it talks about spinning. And it talks about sometimes you get heart fibrillation. Sometimes, but it's brief. It's an adjustment. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to a doctor, because you should if you think something's wrong. But how many lately, since 2012, have had something happen, gone to a doctor, and they can't find anything wrong? They can't explain why there's a physical uncomfortableness on the body. My suggestion is to meditate and stay with it and just ask for whatever block is being loosened and melted to let it happen. This book is an very powerful book.
Excellent. So let's have a look at this lovely chart of yours, because there we go. Okay. So there's all your chakras at the top there. I'm gonna just open that up into another
window.
Well,
in the middle are something called the divine seals, which we haven't talked about. The divine seals is in another book. Uh-huh. I wrote Ascension, and then I wrote the Ascension Workbook. And in the Ascension Workbook, that book almost killed me to write, Jay. That was an experience. That was a true experience with the divine. Because emotionally, I went through a very bad time. And I felt like I was losing everything. Everything blew up. It was terrible. So I wrote this book. It took me 18 months, and that's long for me. And I got the divine seals, which came through my hand being moved by invisible forces so I could learn what they were. And I had heard of the divine seals, but I didn't remember how I had heard of them. So I did a search on the internet, and there was a book published in the 1700s from the Nordic people, the Amsterdam and Denmark and that area, where they used divine seals, and they also were signs of the zodiac. The divine seals are the signs of the zodiac, but they work in a specific way. They bring in a specific energy that balances the body. And anyway, I wrote Ascension, and I wrote the workbook, and I'm going around, and this year I went to Mother, and I sat in front of her, and I said I wanted another book to help mankind. And she nodded. She said she would give it. And I'm walking around the house after I got back. This was in July, and I'm hearing in my head, why did you hide them? Why did you hide them? And I didn't know what it meant. I finally figured out that I took the new spiritual chakras and hid it in the Ascension workbook, and Spirit wanted me to bring that out into its own book and then let them graduate to knowing other things like high healing work and the divine seals. So I did, and now it's the new spiritual chakras and how to work with them.
Okay, so you got various ones here, and most of them appear to correspond with our 12 sign zodiac, apart from the 8.5 chakra.
Oh, that's
which
the
is E yeah. equals MC squared, or is that correct. E minus MC squared?
No,
E equals
E equals mm-hmm. MC squared.
Okay, so that's now to me the C squared is because light travels forward at the speed of light, and it also spins at the speed of light, and that's why
right.
you got the two
all
kinetic
these chakras
plus
spin.
Yes.
That's the whole thing, and they have to spin in a clockwise way. This is what I learned. This is really interesting. When you spin your chakras and bring them into the body, when you do that visualization meditation, which is how to wake them up, you want to spin them clockwise, because if you spin them counterclockwise, it's negative.
But clockwise relative to how? If you're looking at the clock the way...
In front of you.
So if I was to take my right hand, I'd move it from the left to the right, yeah? In the same way that the sun moves across the sky.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Absolutely correct. And the only thing that changed with the chakras as I was working on this is the heart center and the solar plexus. The colors were switched. A lot of people are going to have a hard time with that. The solar plexus is green. And I was told that the solar plexus is the largest chakra of the body. The solar plexus is like a Kelly green, like your Irish green, because... It is healing. It represents healing. The heart center has become yellow, which represents the brightness from the sun and the white light. And the 10th chakra is amber. So it's another tone of yellow. The amber color, again, is the color of the double helix. And when you're doing your visualizations and you're doing your inner work, you're going to start seeing flashes of amber around you. It's coming from the fourth level of the aura, which means that you're beginning to work your way up to fourth and fifth dimension. And if you go to my book, Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, it explains each dimension and explains what each dimension holds for you. That came first. That book came first. That book came before 2012.
So, looking at these, we have different seals.
The divine seal.
Which Scorpio looks familiar enough, Gemini. Yeah. are they... It actually looks like they're made of wire. Is that right?
No, they're made of sterling silver. Pure silver. And they're made in a circle because when you apply them to the body, and there's a way to do this for healing, they are done in a circular clockwise position. So if I'm doing the foot chakra, let's take Virgo, which is Virgo. I'm making the M, and I've got the little curl at the bottom, and then I go around in a circle, and I apply that to the feet. And then you have Aries, that's the root chakra. Cancer, of course, is the second chakra because Cancer is the mother. The solar plexus is Capricorn. That's the first seal that came to me. That has to be the solar plexus because it's ruled by Saturn. Then you have Leo at the heart center. Leo rules the heart. You have Pisces at the throat. Pisces is your compassion, as you know. It's your discernment. It's your communication. Pisces is generally thought of as loving. And then the third eye chakra is Aquarius. Now, Aquarius is beyond knowledge. The sign of Aquarius means Uranus. It's out there in the air. So the third eye, which is going to become the healing part of the body, that's the new healing center of the body, the third eye, is Aquarius. Sagittarius is the crown. Sagittarius wants to travel. Sagittarius wants to go off the planet. So it needs to travel. That's why it's the crown center. Then you have the eighth chakra, which is Taurus. Taurus is easy now. Let's make this balance. Let's make this worth something. Let's not destroy your body. Let's just bring you in the gifts and make you desireless. And let's work with the ego of wanting to help everybody and be of service. Then you have the 8.5 chakra, which is EMC square, which was Einstein's theory. And that is energetic, electrical type of thing. That brings you the new energies, it brings you balance and acceptance, it strengthens your aura, and it raises your vibration, but it only does it to the point of where the body can tolerate it. Then we go to our Scorpio. I think it's neat that the ninth chakra is Scorpio. Scorpio is a very determined sign. It's a forceful sign, and it will unlock anything. It unlocks your spiritual skills, your pineal, and your left brain. The other thing that the ninth chakra does is help you to remember all of your past lives. Have you heard of people talking about going into their past lives, Jay? Because that is happening. And loving the color magenta. Magenta is the color of the ninth chakra.
You know, it's really interesting. In the last year, I've been experimenting with light-emitting diodes, LEDs, and I have them all over my house. They use very little power, for a start.
I think that's neat.
And they also can be made to run on any color. And so I've been doing a lot of learning about color and frequency and things like that.
And magenta.
Yeah, I know. And this is the thing, is that... What I can do is, and it's great because people come to my house and they come in, and I've got the little remote controller, and it's got a dozen colours on it, say, and it's got three rows of I think six puzzles anyway. So I go in there and I just use my muscle checking and I tune into the person. I say, and I go red, green, or blue, red, and then green one, this one, this one, this one, this one.
They each mean something.
And. Every time I get the color, I then press the remote control and I watch their body, and I see every time their shoulders drop and I go, it's spot on. This thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that I'm going to tell you that I think that type of light energy with working the, if I came to your house and I worked these chakras in that light energy, oh my goodness, I would be almost transparent. I would love it.
Well, and,
I would just love it.
And so I've also gotten into microelectronics and actually learning how to build things that display these colors. You know,
that's
so
great. That's what we need.
Yeah. So there's things you can get like and you know, using frequency in the flashing of the color.
When I was writing this book, I got that message, Jay. I got that. Well, that's how we're going to be doing it. That's how we're going to help people speed it up. And I saw a movie theater, and I saw all those kinds of lights that you're talking about. And then I saw them take a projector and project onto the screen each of the divine seals in order. I'll bet you that when somebody comes to your house and you can see all the colors, that you're seeing where their blocks are, but you're all seeing what they're opening to. You're also seeing what they're opening to. I had a great lesson with the ninth chakra, and that's this. There's the Akashic Records, and then there is the Book of Life. The Akashic Records are everything you've already lived through. They're your history book. Everything you've done, every person you've been, everything, everywhere you've been in the universe is recorded in the Akashic Records. The Book of Life is the book that the life that you're living now. And they taught me in meditation that helps people go to the Book of Life, create a blank page, and write in what they want to manifest. Fascinating. Because if it gets into that area, if it gets into that energy, it has to be created. Can't be done with the ego. It's got to be done without the ego.
So it's really things
it's
that
spiritual.
that do good for not only your family, but your country, your planet, your solar system.
It can't be that you want a new Cadillac or a new Mercedes. It's got to be that you want to see something like muscular dystrophy leave the planet.
Yes,
you want to see
the end
cure for multiple sclerosis, something like that.
Yeah. How about the cure for PTSD? First,
anything.
Yeah, or at least the way that I mean.
I love PTSD. That would be great.
You love it.
No, it affects so many people, and they don't know.
Oh yeah. Well, everybody.
Kids do not remember their fear and their fright when they're little, and adults act strange in front of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, the 10th chakra. That's the high heart center. That's a Gemini. That's four things at once, and this gives you your healing powers, your forgiveness, your joy, and your merging into the total oneness. Now, we can do this for a short period of time in meditations, Jay. We can do this. However, we can't hold it. You ever have that feeling of, oh, I'm in the energies, and now I'm not in the energies, now I'm in the energies, now I'm not in the energies? It's very interesting. The other thing that happened to me that I do want to mention is that I was given an invocation. And the invocation is very, very, very powerful. And it is almost like what Ann Bailey wrote with the Great Invocation. Alice Bailey, when she wrote the Great Invocation in the 30s, I have written the invocation to activate the spiritual chakras. I have recorded it with Richard Shulman, and you can get that on my website. But it's incredible.
So, with a new approach to, so I mean, well, hang on. What about our old chakras?
they have to be activated first.
Exactly. So this is.
I have that done too. I have a wonderful, wonderful cassette tape called "The Chakras in Your Body" that I made in 1993, and I have always said that's the best work I've ever done. You can get that on my website. What it does is, through Richard Shulman's music and through my guided meditation, it opens up your chakras. And if you listen to that meditation every day for 120 days, your third eye will open, no matter where you are. No matter where you are, I mean in levels, Jay. It's so helpful to healing and understanding and creating a wider world of understanding. Then after you get that done, you want to work with the higher chakras. You don't want to work with the higher chakras before you work through the lower chakras, because that creates the balance. Remember, these chakras have come in and they have enhanced, and they're added to the lower chakras. They don't dispel them. The lower chakras we have to have. We have to have them because we're in the physical body. But I'm going to tell you something. All of them work when you're not here also. When you drop the body and you go back to your soul pod, you're going to have your chakras with you, all of them.
So
and
this
they
is
determine what vibration you're at. They determine what vibration you're at, each one of them.
So the chakras, what you're talking about, is really our fifth dimensional body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am, which is the universal body.
Which is the universal body. And the meaning of the word universal in that sense is that it is not only driven by your own mind, but your mind is connected in with your soul, and your soul is connected in with your high spirit, and so on and so on. That we're aligned to the middle.
Your high spirit versus your soul.
Yeah.
Your soul, the blessed higher self, is beneath the soul. If you want to do levels, the soul is all encompassing. Now, there's many that believe that the soul has parallel lives and can have 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 lives going on at the same time. I'm not going to debate that one way or the other, because I don't know. But I do know that the soul contains the blessed higher self and the physical body. So the soul could contain a lot more as well. So I say, let's just work with where we are, who we are, and what we're doing. And if these gifts that are opening for you as you ascend show you other realities, that's fine. That's a gift. But the real gift is to lift mankind higher, to a higher vibration, to a higher understanding of life, to a higher understanding of the universe, to forgiveness, to universal love, and what it really is. Because you know what makes it easy? You know how we carry hates and prejudices against people? That doesn't happen anymore. It's not necessary, because think of chemistry. Think of something that draws you in or something that repels. If you're with somebody, or you're even walking down the street with strangers, and there are people that repel you, they're not going to come into your field of light. They're going to pass you by. But the people that come into your field of light, every single one of them needs to be loved, respected, and treasured, because they're bringing you a gift of knowledge. They're bringing you something. Nobody can come into your life without you having them call them in, and nobody can come into your life unless there's a message. Each one of you, you have something for them, and they have something for you. This is what Louise Hay taught when we were in her classes way back in the 80s. And sometimes it's just to trigger you to get rid of something. And sometimes it's just to show you love or to bring you wisdom. It's so fascinating when you think of it that way, isn't it, Jay?
Indeed, that it's all a hologram, and that it's all a puzzle, and that we're all part of a puzzle, we're all a piece, and we're also carrying a piece for everybody that we meet. I've always found that every conversation I have with anybody is, it's like watching the next episode of a story like Lost or Babylon 5, where there's got a little bit of the big story arc in it. Every piece has a nugget of the whole picture, but also you have a pretty detailed picture of what's being exchanged in the moment.
Well, the other thing that I find interesting is that we've talked and talked and talked about the lost Ark of the Covenant. Spirit claims that this is the Ark of the Covenant, that the 10th chakra coming down to the heart center for the first time in eons is a miracle. This was the miracle of 2012, that we now can choose to learn how to do that, which expands our knowledge, expands our wisdom, brings in everything that we've ever experienced in any lifetime for our service, for our use, and also just brings incredible wisdom, love, and knowledge that we can pass on to other people. And there's many, many people that have already achieved it. Like when you talk about the Hugging Saint, or even the Pope that was just here, you talk about these people on higher levels. The Pope touched babies. The Pope touched people. And every single person that said they were touched felt an electrical charge, something going through their body that made them feel goosebumpy or made them feel some kind of an extra power. That's what he was using, that fifth dimension energy, to clear away that which we no longer need, to heal. And this is fascinating.
So I don't know if we finished the sutra, because we didn't get to Libra.
We got to magenta. No, we only got to magenta.
Magenta, which is the Scorpio.
The ninth chakra.
Yeah, so that's where I started talking about the light the light box, which is, I tell you, I'd really recommend it. I've got them, you buy them in a strip, and you have a little remote control. Not very much, like $25 to
deliver. You know, I recommend it too. Mm. I really do, based on all this new energy.
Yeah.
The tenth chakra is amber. Harmonizing with the heart center, which is our fourth chakra, the heart center, harmonizing with that. It's just a higher form of white light, of bright light. And it's Gemini. and it is a healing. It brings you healing power, forgiveness, and merging, and oneness, and joy. Now, Libra. Libra is the 11th chakra, which is the home of the mother. And it's a beautiful aqua blue. When you have this color revealed to you in your third eye, you won't believe how gorgeous it is. And it brings in telekinesis, being able to move things. It brings in universal love. It brings the mother, and it brings you spiritual realization, which is part of what I'm talking about. And so I'm sure some people that are listening have no clue. Until you have soul healing and unity, until you feel that inside, it's only something that you can theorize. But when you start to feel it, that's a whole different thing. So the 11th chakra brings us the mother, and it's a beautiful aqua blue. And, you know, the stone, what's that stone, the Indian stone?
Aquamarine?
Not aquamarine.
All right, because Moonstone?
No, it's blue.
All right, I published a beautiful one on my Facebook page yesterday. It's like, this is about two...
Was it aquamarine?
Something like that, 2 feet tall.
Well, that's it. Send me one, I want one. That's my Pisces birthday.
Of course, you're very close to my birthday, aren't you? You're 20th of... 16th, that's right.
March, yeah. And then the 12th chakra is the diamond. Interesting. The 12th chakra, the sign for the 12th chakra is infinity. It brings you advanced spiritual skills, teleportation, relocation, and it's the home of the Father. So it's the universal body and it's true ascension. I know that the hugging saint works out of the 12th chakra. And I know that it is beyond comprehension. It's beyond anything I could ever write, Jay. I am so overwhelmed by the 12th chakra and the 12th dimension, because these are also the dimensions. And when I took the finished book to Mother for her blessing, she held it and she went right to the 12th chakra and she was running her finger around the sign of infinity, and she looked at me and she said, "How did you ever get all of this information into one place?" And I said, "You gave it to me." And then she laughed. She gave it to me. These books were written by the divine, by the pen of the divine. These books were written. I really believe that. You can say I downloaded it, Jay.
I'm just opening up my downloads folder because I'm going to send that picture to you right now. There we go. Okay. Dropping that in the chat box there, and it's quite a stunning size of aquamarine.
It's beautiful. Look at that. And all of the colors around it that are, see that vibration? You see that in the middle is the blue?
Yeah.
You see all the colors around it, the reds and the golds all leaving. And what that aquamarine is doing is dispelling negative energy. And you can even see a little black, which of course is the most negative. It's without color.
Is that there's a face up in the top right-hand corner there? It's like a.
It kind of looks like it, doesn't it? But anyway, it's dispelling all of this black. Maybe it's amber. We have an angel called Amber. I didn't know what else to call her but Amber.
That's right. My stepdaughter is called Amber. Bless her heart.
Who guards the 8.5 chakra, and who doesn't allow the light to hurt our body. Now these energetic orbs that I'm seeing come from Arcturian. That's the area of the universe that they come from to protect our body. So they've been sent in like droves so that we all can be protected from these energies harming us, and that we all can tap into them and use them as we need to ascend. And I just think this whole theory, this whole process, is going to bring more miracles than we could ever hear of. I know that they say that as we ascend, all disease disappears, Jay. Can you imagine? Can you imagine coming into this energy and you being free and clear of not only disease, but aging? This is what Deepak Chopra wrote when he wrote his book. That aging was going to disappear. and this is how it's going to happen.
So this is very much like the kingdom of heaven from within, and many of the other accounts of what we're going to be going through, prophecies, other times, other places when people have gone through this. But there's something unique about this moment. Does she cover this?
Yes. Well, as I said to you, if you go back to even World War II, there was talk about how many people in Tibet were sitting and chanting every day to try to lift that energy off the planet. And they were doing it by working these chakras, accessing these parts and bringing that energy onto the planet. So don't you think it's great that now we can all do it if we choose?
So how different is it today from, say, 10 years ago? And when you say it to access, can you describe what it means? How does it feel to access these energies, and how do you make it happen? This is the question.
Well,
everyone make this happen?
The only way that I know of to make this happen is through meditation. Now, that said, again, if I came to your house and you had those lights and we put on proper music like Ardas or Higher Dimension and sat there and started to spin our chakras, who knows, we could even levitate. Who knows what would happen? But for the average person, it does take meditation, it does take working with these energies and these thoughts and bringing them, making them familiar to your body through visualization. That's how we create thinking, talking, action. We think about it, or we read about it, we talk about it, and then we do it. So you really have to work and spin your chakras every day. And as you do that, things are going to happen. You're going to have, you could create chaos, and people could start getting mad at you for no reason and leaving your life and telling you off and doing all these things that they do as you go through a clearing. Because the rule is there has to be destruction before reconstruction. So the first thing that's going to happen is anything undesirable is going to leave your life. I know, because that's what happened to me when I was writing the book.
Action of Pluto.
I did not think I would live through it. Seriously. And then you have to go through a void, an emptiness. I don't want to call it a hopelessness, but it's a void. It's not really a hopelessness. It's just, okay, what happens next type of thing. And then the light starts to bring in new experiences, new directions, and new people to embrace you, to help you, and to work with you. The yogis talk about climbing a mountain. And as you climb a mountain, you go through all of the trees, and you see all the different bushes and trees that grow in different areas on the mountain. When you get to the top of the mountain, there's no trees, it's almost barren, and it's almost bald on top. And then you turn and you look at the other side, going back down, and you see a beautiful city with lights. And that's your new experience. So as you go back down into this new place of being, you're different. You're different because you're more understanding. You're different because you have more telepathic powers. You have more resonance with people. You have more ways of seeing who they are, what their motives are. You have ways of healing. You have ways of being kind and speaking to a person so that they can hear you. And that has affected my readings, Jay. I do not read now the way I used to. And I've been doing readings for 35 years. My readings have totally changed. They're different. Because I believe that every single person that comes to me for a reading has been sent by the energies. So I treat them with respect. I understand that I have something for them. And I really try to find out what that could be to help them grow. It's a whole different consciousness.
It's very good as well, because it means that you can look forward to doing every reading, because it's not going to be the same old, same old. It'll never be the same old.
So it's not.
It'll always be a progression. So, talking of progressions, we're progressing towards the end of the hour. We are on Revolution Radio, a fully 100% homegrown, organic, listener-supported station. That means that the only reason that we can keep running with all this expensive equipment, because we do have many thousands of listeners here, with all this expensive equipment, is through your donation. So please put a coin in the slot, a cent in the hat. In fact, there are things you can do. Like I say, I always recommend the seed pack, because it's the most practical way of spending money, because if you buy seeds, obviously you can make lots of food and save yourself money in the future. So that's my station announcement. We'll be rejoining in after the break, which is in about 5 minutes' time. So, Elizabeth, so there's your inspiration that you. I mean, one of the questions coming in from the chat is, like, you talk about mother all the time, and could you talk a little bit about your spiritual mother?
Yes, I will. Her website is amma.org. She's a fully realized saint. She's from India. And she has 22 million followers. And she has wonderful charities all around the world. And she just helps people. She gave 22 million to the tsunami relief. In India, they had the tsunami hit Sri Lanka and the lower part of India, which is where her ashram is. And many of the men who were out fishing were killed, as you know, Jay. And in India, when the man of the house is killed, the women and children are shunned. So she built over 300 homes for the women and children who lost their husbands in the tsunami to shelter them. The first thing she did when the tsunami passed through was go and gather all of the people that had lost their homes and bring them to the ashram. She started classes right away. She started yoga classes. She started meditation classes. They're very organized. She started things for the younger children. She started things for the teenagers, and everybody was given a project, a job to do.
Positive action. Very good.
Yep. And she also has a hospital with 800 beds that's free to people in India that can't afford a hospital. Doctors come from all around the world every 2 weeks. They change. The surgeon will come from Sweden, then he'll come from Denmark, then he'll come from Japan, then he'll come from Indonesia, and they have a schedule, and they donate their time, and they donate their expertise for 2 weeks. It's called Ames Hospital. And she has a wonderful college, and they are researching serious diseases and trying to find cures. And this is ongoing. So I just think that just the community is a miracle. It doesn't matter whether you think she's from the planet or not. Just understand what this entire organization does. It's incredible. Just incredible. She goes around the world. She comes to the United States once a year in the summertime. She goes to England. She goes to Berlin. She goes to some of the islands around Africa. She goes to Australia, and she goes to Indonesia, and there's another one she goes to. But anyway, she's well known and well loved. She went to Japan and walked the land after the nuclear disaster. Everybody was afraid she would die of radiation. She walked on it and blessed it. She's incredible. Her website is amma.org, and you can read about her.
Awesome. So I have a couple of friends who I wouldn't say devotees, because she's not that. It's about service rather than devotion.
Yes, it is about service. It's a family.
Yeah.
And every single time I go back, I feel like I'm back home with my mother and sisters. To me, it's like a holiday. Like, we have Thanksgiving, we have Christmas, we have Yom Kippur. We also have our time with Amma. And it's that type of a thing. There's no regiment. There's no, you have to do this. And they don't even serve Kool-Aid, so you don't have to worry about it. But anyway, it's just a wonderful, wonderful extended family worldwide. And she has, the name of her charity is called Embracing the World. And that's what she's doing. And would we have more people like that? I wish we could. It's not a religion. It's a spiritual organization. It is not a religion. It is not a cult. The word guru simply means teacher. You don't have to call her a guru. You can just call her the Divine Mother, or you can call her Amma.
Let's just call her Amma. Thank you very much. This is Revolution Radio Studio B, Wolf Spirit Radio Studio A, Ever Beyond Radio Studio Infinity. We'll be back just after this. So, yes, indeed, welcome back to Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio. And as I said, we're a listener-supported station, and please donate as much as you can to keep us going. I know there's quite a few new listeners, I hope you're enjoying this presentation, and if you'd like to reward our volunteer work. We're all volunteers here. Nobody gets paid for anything. We work hard to provide you with content that is new, informative, interesting, spellbinding, captivating. So, actually, no, we don't want to spellbind anybody. We want to release the binds from all the black magic that's been used on us. And so, to this end, we are opening up our higher centers, or we are being, so here's the thing, you know, often you're talking about, you know, we've been given this, or you know, I was, is there a, there is a lot of it about us initiating this for oneself, you know, to kind of take responsibility for your own spiritual journey.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And you have to, but you know, you wanted me to relate some of this to my own life, and I pulled the book Ascension out so I could tell everybody the theme of each dimension, and I noticed that I had a part in here about my wake-up call. Everybody has a wake-up call, I believe, and it's personal, and everybody it comes to understanding that we are not our body, but we are beyond our body in their own time and in their own way. Mine was when I moved to Vermont from New Jersey in 1985. I'm telling you the year because we just had the supermoon eclipse, the red moon in Aries last night. And this supermoon eclipse is very powerful, and it's the first one we've had in 30 years. That would be 1985. I had a wake-up call.
That's funny.
I know, and now we're going to have another one, whatever it's going to be, that will be adjunct to it. And it took me 30 years to get from there to here, Jay. 30 years of experiencing, of following my spiritual path. My wake-up call was in Wilmington, Vermont. I was giving readings and teaching classes, and I went by a room where a group of people were sitting around on pillows meditating. You need to understand, I had never seen anything like that before in my life. And they were singing a song. They were chanting. And the song was Om Namah Shivaya, Shiva Om Namah. And they were singing that song, and as they were doing it, most of them had their eyes closed, and I saw the most beautiful light in that room. And I felt something inside of me move big time. And I said, I want that. Whatever it is, I want that. I didn't really know that I was looking at a group of meditators. I didn't understand what was going on. But I got it. And that's how I met my spiritual first teacher. Her name was Indira Ivy. And I worked with the Clear Light group for 5 years. Then I moved on to Frank Alper, and I worked with Yogi Bhajan and Louise Hay, and then I worked with Deepak Chopra. And it's been quite a trip. So you see, I believe that each teacher you meet leads you to the next one and leads you to the next one. And now, 30 years later, I have this book. I think it's a miracle. I really do. So we have to expand, and we can only bring to the planet that which we can tolerate ourselves when it comes to spiritual and spiritual law. A lot of people do the do as I say and not as I do routine. And I also believe that there are consequences, visible and invisible, for our actions, for good or for ill. Do you believe that, Jay?
Seems that way.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be, because it's called the law of balance. And if your mind, your Ivy, goes to, I want to take that from him, then in order to balance it, something has to be taken from you. That's natural law. But if you go with the mind of, I want to pay it forward, I want to give that to him, more will be given to you. That's natural law. So remember that. By the way, I haven't given my website. My website is www.new-visions.com. And that's V-I-S-I-O-N-S. There's an S on it. New-visions.com. Elizabeth Joyce. And if you wanted to call, I have a 24-hour answering service, which is 201-934-8986. That said, Jay, I'd like to just give the definition of the dimensions as I received them.
Okay, so when you talk about dimensions, are you also talking about the layers in that diagram? So you got your chart, you got your 13?
No.
So
The chart are the energies. Oh, let me explain it to you. Each dimension has seven layers to it. This is the chart is what we can bring into the body. The dimensions are what we live through. Does that help? The third dimension is the material world. The material world is dormant, is the dominant world in which humanity and other species move. They live and they operate. The driving force in this dimension are called instincts. Most people on the planet base their actions predominantly on information they have received from their survival, sexual, and territorial instincts. So your third dimension is a limited belief system. You make a decision and you send the thought out to the universe to create and then it comes back to you. So the third dimension is limited. The fourth dimension is the magical world. That's where you're finding the truth. That's the next step up from the material world. When you are living in the magical world, you are accepting the many and varied realities held secret within the universe and within the parameters of the fourth dimension. Then you go to the fifth dimension, where we're all entering now as a unit, and that's the mystical world. The fifth dimension is the place of heaven on the plane of light, getting familiar with light, how it works, and getting familiar with the universal body, and this is how you self-realize. As far as we know, no human has ever existed beyond the fifth dimension. Most religions, the fifth dimension is the highest realm that a soul can reach in its evolvement. However, that has now changed. We are ascending towards the 11 dimensions, leaving behind the realm of limitations. That's what's coming. That's in my book, Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension. And it's a long book, Jay, and it does give you a breakdown of what is coming, how to live through it, how to know where you are, in what place, and how to grow beyond it. And that's the important thing.
So, when people come across your books, how would you like them to take them? Do you want to? Would you like them to sort of read them one after the other?
Yes. No. I think they do have to read them in order. When it comes to spiritual growth, you would read Ascension, and then you would read Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, which gives you spiritual laws, and then you would read the new chakras and how to work with them. I have a couple of others. I have Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? That's the first book I ever wrote, but that's about fake psychics and what to look for and how to protect yourself.
What would you like to give us a few nuggets out of that little piece there? Because
Psychic Attack
it's almost like de rigueur these days. Everybody seems to be under a psychic attack. So do we actually need tinfoil helmets?
I feel it now in these new energies. Psychic Attack was my first book. It's my favorite. It really is in many, many, many ways because it's part of my life. And I wrote it in 2007 because I had people coming to me telling me about all these schemes that people pull on them, like the envelope routine. Bring me $20,000 in an envelope and I'll bless it and then the curse will come off of you. And of course they switch envelopes and give them back an envelope with blank paper in it. Or somebody says there's a curse on you and your son is going to die if you don't give me $100,000. Now I'm giving you things that have really happened. I'm telling you stories that have really happened. And they'll say, I put a curse on you, or they'll say, I am controlling you and you have to pay me. A lot of people prey on divorced women, on women that are having a hard time supporting themselves, they get preyed on. Or if somebody's just inherited and they're single, the people will come after them and try to get the money. This book tells you how to prevent psychic attack, how to recognize psychic attack, what to do and what not to do. And it gives you specific instructions of how to get harmful energetic energies that are being directed towards you off of you. But there is one natural law. No one can put a curse on you without your permission. You had an advertisement on the radio during the break about fear. Fear is definitely of the mind, and there is a difference between danger and fear. And fear is what makes us do irrational things. So this tells you how to get rid of the fear. And there are true stories in the book, Psychic Attack. One of them was, I was on the phone with a girl, they called me from New York City, and she had already given $400,000 to this gypsy down the hall, and didn't know how to stop giving to her and was scared to death of her. So I was doing a clearing with her on the phone, and all of a sudden I heard a pounding at her door. And it was the gypsy saying, what are you doing in there? What are you doing? What are you doing? And we were clearing. We were unhooking her power from this girl. Her name was Donna. We were unhooking the gypsy's power from her energy. And she knew it right away. So what happened was, Donna, I told her to go to the police. I told her to report it, and she did. And they wound up taking this lady to court, and she got her money back. But that's because she called someone to help her. I don't want to say because she called me. That wouldn't really be true. What is true is that she reached out for help from someone that could think for her and help her get through her pain. She was in real pain. Then there was one in Philadelphia who would go up to St. Patrick's Cathedral and meet this woman in the back where they have the chairs to pray to Mary, and she would have a bag, and in the bag would be cash, and she'd give the woman the cash, and the woman would walk out in order for her son not to be harmed any further. These are scams. These are lies. And I have a problem with what they have on the internet for hexes and for love spells. I have a problem with that, because what you're doing is you're taking a natural energy and you're filling it with your ego desires to manipulate somebody. It's out of order. You don't have to manipulate somebody to love you. When two people love each other, there is no one else. There's only each other. And when two people love each other, it comes from within. It doesn't come from what they have in the bank. So I have a problem with that. But these books, this is my bestseller. It really is. And there's a story in there called Black Magic, where somebody tried to put black magic onto me, and it tells you exactly what happened. So that's a very interesting chapter. You'll want to read Black Magic chapter. But psychic attack is real. Somebody can get very angry with you. Even road rage is part of psychic attack, Jay. And people trying to grab you or hurt you, or somebody's jealous of you at work, somebody's jealous because you're dating somebody. Psychic attack happens all the time, and it happens when people send bad negative thoughts and wish others harm. That's psychic attack. Unfortunately, we have psychic attack all over the planet because we have a lot of wars and rumors of wars and upsets and religious battles and everything else going on. So you have to protect yourself from these invisible energies. They can be harmful. And again, you do it through meditation and strengthening your aura. And you have control. You are the one that can say, I command these energies to leave me now. I don't accept these energies now. And that's called setting a condition. We are gifted. We humans are gifted with voice, reason, and thought. When you take command and you make a fist with your right hand and you say, I command you to leave me now, you're doing it with a force. So you're not only asking the energies to leave, you're asking your own fear to leave. You have control, and that's what you need to remember, and that's the gift that this book I wrote gives you. Psychic attack, are you a victim? And all the books are on Amazon.com.
Amazon.com, and there's links on your website, obviously.
Yes, there's links on my website as well.
Good, good. So... we've got 40 minutes. I don't know if would you like to take any questions or
I'd love to take questions.
Okay.
Questions, or somebody can ask me a psychic question or okay. Questions about what I've written. That would be fun.
Okay. Well, in that case, while you're here,
that's perfectly fine.
Is there any is there anybody that's been bugging you about me in the last hour that's like got any messages? Because there's someone here.
Oh, you're feeling an energy? I'll tell you why that energy is here, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to, what I sense, I have to put that first, mm-hmm. is that Spirit is going to help you develop the lights that match this chart. Spirit is going to help you develop a powerful healing center with the lights that match this chart. In order for people to come and be healed. I know that's true. And I know when people go to your home and experience those lights, they leave lighter hearted. Is that not true?
I try to get everybody going in a better place than they came.
So I think there is something very special going on here. I had a sense that you and I were going to develop something together that we would have available on the website on Wolf Spirit Radio that would help people at least begin. There needs to be a beginning. There needs to be a desire. Yes, I want to have spiritual advancement. Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to develop myself. I'm going to be dedicated to that. You are your own university here. You are your own learning here. The tools are here. All you have to do is read them and apply them, and you'll be shocked. It only takes a hangnail of energy for you to advance in a tremendous way. And I'm glad you asked that question, Jay, because I think you are going to be a part of it very much.
Good, good, good. I've got various websites they're just sitting there, kind of bubbling, just idling, just tugging. Just like there's something that is a chalice waiting to be filled.
Well, I think what you need to do is bring them all together and have a focus. And I think that everything has been in slow motion for 14 months. Since 2014 March, we've been going through the Uranus square with Pluto, and everything has been in slow motion. You are going to see rapid advancement starting mid-November through the next 2 years. You're not going to believe it. So prepare, get everything finished up that you need to finish up. Because the advancement, and this goes for the world, the advancement is coming. what you have been putting out, what you have been working so hard to achieve, will come as long as it's in divine order and as long as it's like a career, a desire that you want to bring something to the planet, whatever it is. There's lots of luck this next year. Jupiter's in Virgo. It's going to make you work for it, but it will bring you rewards as well.
That's interesting. So it's a more expansive... is it like we've just come out the top of a bottle, really? Like been through a bottleneck?
Yeah, or we got to the top of the mountain, or we came out of the top of the bottle. Don't forget to pop the cork. We can have a lot of fun and a party, because this is great stuff. It really is. When you learn how to work with it, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You know, you think of the single mother that's crying because she can't afford to buy her kids school clothes. That's going to change. That's going to change. A lot of these things are going to be balanced out. You know what I'm saying, Jay.
Indeed. So there's a lot more... It feels like a relaxation on lots of levels.
Mm-hmm.
After this incredible tense period.
Right. And we've had a tremendous tense period. And I think the relaxation really started in August when Jupiter did change signs. But you'll see it begin in November. According to the law of astrology, this is what's going on. By the way, I want to mention something. I do a weekly astrology chat on YouTube every week. So if you go to YouTube and you Google Elizabeth Joyce, you'll be able to hear it. I also do put it up on my website every week. And I'm telling you what the energies are week by week by week to help you work with them so that you know what's here. And I also think that that's very helpful. Recognize the energies. We have our lower energy days. We have our higher energy days. Know when you need to rest and accept it. And know when you need to push forward. And when you can be a night owl. All these things are helpful. So that's good. I just wanted people to know that I'm on YouTube with the astrology report.
What's your YouTube channel again? Say it once again. Just keep reminding people. You've got to tell people.
Elizabeth Joyce on YouTube. I do astrology. I'm not sure exactly where it is. But if you sign up on my website, if you sign up for the mailing list, you'll automatically get it. You'll automatically get that email every week. Just have to sign up on my mailing list and you'll be able to get it. Now, you know, how do we know if a chakra is opening and spinning and if it's not? That's an important question. A lot of people say, oh, my chakra is spinning. Well, it's not necessarily. It might be that the eighth chakra is just open, but they feel so overwhelmed by the energy that they think more is happening. And even our seven physical chakras have problems spinning if we're holding energy that needs to be cleared. So what I do is in the morning, sit and close your eyes and open up your crown chakra and picture stars. You know the stars in the sky, the twinkling stars in the sky? Picture one of them spinning into your head and coming down your spine and place it at the root chakra. Then take another one and spin it to the second chakra and ask the energy to open these chakras. And you can do that for each one. I don't think you should go beyond the eighth chakra at this point. But you can do it for each one. And sometimes as you're doing this spinning, you're sitting and you're breathing in a natural form and your eyes are closed, you're going to start seeing colors. You might see a flash of green or a flash of orange or amber or feel it. The colors are important. You should make note of them and write them down because they tell you what's going on. The colors tell you which chakra you need to be working with. So it's very, very interesting. I am going to be training, and if people want training, they can let me know. And I've decided, Jay, that I'll even do some Skype training if people want that. But they'll have to let me know.
Sorry, that's great. I just managed to pull off my headphones and my glasses at the same time.
Oh,
everything,
great.
Everything went strange there. we have a caller. Let me just bring... Let's just bring in Rodrigo Soto. Hey, Rodrigo. He'll be coming
Where
in.
Where is Rodrigo's from?
Hello, Rodrigo. Where are you from, and what is your question?
Hello, I'm from Perth, Western Australia. And, yeah, Elizabeth, I'm very interested to hear about the chakra talk that you've been broadcasting about. I wanted to ask a couple of questions.
Okay.
First one is about premature kundalini activation.
Kundalini what? I didn't get that
activation.
Word.
Activation.
Premature kundalini activation?
Yeah, if you know about that term or what it is.
I don't think there's any such thing.
There's no such thing?
I don't think so.
All the chakras opening up at once, nothing like that?
That's not going to happen.
Okay.
What you're describing is some kind of an energetic explosion. But if you work with the chakras on a consistent basis, yes, they're going to spin at once. They're not going to necessarily open. They're going to spin. And
right.
You want them to spin in balance. When one is spinning out of balance, then it means you have a lesson to learn. You have something to clear. But there's
okay,
no
so that's
premature yes, kundalini. Kundalini can't be activated unless it's supposed to be activated.
Okay. Fantastic. That's what I wanted to know. I may have done something wrong in the past. In 2009, I was doing some visualizations, working on my chakras, and I actually got mentally unwell.
That
I was
can
perceiving,
happen.
Yeah,
so
I was perceiving alternate realities.
Oh, you were seeing alternate realities
yes.
before you
Yes,
were
I was
ready
actually involved
to.
In alternate realities. I was, the reality that I was perceiving initially for 2 weeks was very futuristic. It was, you know, cars were advanced. It seemed like every sort of motor vehicle had an upgrade. Houses were.
When did this happen to you?
2009.
2009?
Yes.
That's interesting. It sounds to me like you broke through an invisible barrier that you probably weren't ready for, and you were being shown the future but didn't realize that that was a message for you. And took it to heart. That's what it sounds to me like.
Yeah, I was freaking out a fair bit, and unfortunately, the psychiatric team came to me because of what I was seeing and experiencing. People's eyes were glowing purple and violet. They had a purplish tinge,
oh
a violet tinge.
You were unbalanced.
Yeah, I could tell the genetic predisposition of individuals, like where their ancestries were from on Earth, as well as alien based. Yeah, and it was freaking me out so much that, you know, I got drugged up. They put me into hospital, and then after a week, I started to go to the other dimension in the sense it was negative. Everything
yes.
was polluted.
Well, they were giving you drugs in the hospital.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They drugged me out.
That's why.
Yeah.
So that
and then after,
the process.
Yeah, so I was researching and, you know, I've come across, I opened up my chakras too quickly or I did something wrong and, you know, I never meddled too much with that afterwards. But,
do you have a meditative practice?
Not on a consistent basis. I do
okay,
meditate,
that,
but
that's
it's not
what,
something
that's
to do with
what that balance. If you start having one on a consistent basis, then this will even out for you. It's going to take some time. I suggest you work with the chakras in your body with that meditation that I've given. That's on my website.
Okay, I would love to know more about that. I only recently come onto the show, so I only recently tuned in.
Good.
Thank you for that. And the last question. Yesterday was the lunar eclipse,
yes.
Harvest Moon. I was born on a lunar eclipse on the 28th of September, 79, and yesterday was my birthday. It was an interesting time. I've had experiences with mind control and programming.
What's your question?
So in relation to my future, just a general outlook.
Okay, all you have to do is go to my website and read the weekly astrology. It's all there. Everything.
Okay.
It's not anything that I can take hours to tell you now, but you read it and then send me an email if you have another question.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
New-visions.com. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Rodrigo. And from, I think, Arizona? Yeah, Doc Who. Hello, Doc.
Florida.
What's up? Florida. He's from Florida.
Yeah. Oh, whereabouts in Florida?
Yeah. I'm about 40 minutes north of Tampa. I grew up in Tampa.
Okay.
Do you have a question for Elizabeth?
I certainly do.
Question
about
away.
2 months ago, and I told Mona about this, and she didn't really have any reply to it, but I thought I would ask you at some point, and here you've got this great guest on, and I thought this is a great opportunity to get a couple of perspectives. About 2 months ago, I was awakened, and my what awakened me was my spine was arched, my head mm-hmm. was, back of my head was jacked.
I didn't hear that, I'm sorry.
Which part?
Your spine was arched, and then what?
And my head was arched backwards.
Okay.
In the on the pillow, and my head was spinning rather, almost violently, not quite violently, but...
Well, it was spinning and you could feel it. It was disturbing.
Oh, yeah, very, very dizzy spell. And then about...
What had you been doing the day before this happened?
Oh, boy. 2 months ago? I don't know.
Okay, let me tell you something. This could mean one of two things, okay? The thing that I'm getting that it could have meant for you is that you are being asked by the invisible forces and by your guides to start accessing the higher energies. Now, I don't know who you are or what you do. I don't know if you even have a spiritual practice, but I think that if you start calming your spine down and working with the chakras and the colors and spinning, that that will give you an opening to accept these higher energies. I think it was, in a sense, a wake-up call.
Well, okay. It happened again 3 days ago, and
okay.
It happened
just
three times
sure
in the same
sure
morning.
Sure it did. So you're being asked to stop, to sit, and to work with that which you're coming to get to know through this radio show. Thank goodness. This is not an accident that you're listening to this tonight.
No,
you
I
do
don't
have the, you do have the tools that can help you to calm this down. Another thing you can do is drink ice water or sit in a tub. That will help you. It can mean that your body needs more fluid, needs more water. Do you drink a lot of water?
All day long, lemon water.
Okay. And
with shungite in it.
With what?
Shungite pebbles in it.
I don't know what that is, but
shungite, we're well into this at the moment, but I'll discuss it another time.
That's new for me. But whatever you feel will enhance you, will quiet you down, talk to your guides, talk to them now and say, I am ready to bring this energy in. It's coming in a little too fast. Let's bring it in so I can tolerate it. Let's bring it in so I can tolerate it. And I'm open to the gifts that you're asking me to receive. That's what you need to do, and you'll be okay, I think.
I'm just wondering if it's got anything to do with the approach of the photon belt.
Well, the photon belt, that's in my workbook, is not coming as quickly as people say it is. What it is that we just had a powerful eclipse. And this eclipse is bringing the energy in stronger that already has an avenue in. It came in 2012. So the double helix energy is powerful for a lot of people. The man that was just on for Australia, who had the 27th of September's birthday, is going to have more major changes in his life in the next 6 months than some other people. So when is your birthday?
May 13th.
You're a Taurus. Okay,
yeah.
So I don't know your whole chart. I'm sure you have other parts of your chart where it could be affected. But just know that it's a wake-up call, and it's a call to the fifth dimension, and you need to really get a handle on what it is. I would be happy to help direct you, and you'll be okay. It's shocking, and it feels funny, and a lot of people over the world are feeling these reactions, especially if they're doing healing work or psychic work. So I just urge everybody not to be afraid, to understand that this is a natural process, and sometimes it can be most uncomfortable.
Well, it didn't scare me. I didn't have any fear. There
good.
No fear present.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you for the comments.
Jay?
So, thanks very much, Doc. And now we do have an extra caller here. Hang on, I've got to let my... I can't see the... Oh, there we go. Area code 870. So, who's that? And what's your presenting issue, sir, madam?
Yeah, it's JP. It's Stardust Man, you know, the other long-haired dude.
Stardust Man, the long-haired dude. Yeah. Hey, how are you?
And where are you located?
Tenny Longhair. Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Ah, he's all connected in with the crystals. You must be fired up with all that crystal stuff around.
One thing I was kind of wondering about, a lot of this, when I kind of first came into this world, I just kind of stumbled across Carrie Cassidy, and she did a really long interview by Anishana Dean. Now, I'm just wondering if you were familiar with her.
No.
Because she's more on, she was more discussing ascension. You know,
I do not know who she is. I don't know who she is, I'm sorry, but I'm glad that you're working with somebody that's helping you with ascension.
So, do you have a question?
Yes, I was wondering, talking about, what we're doing here now, where we are, but be doing prepare for our trip onward.
What you're doing every day. You're living every day. You're loving every day. You're keeping your body in balance every day. You brush your teeth. You take a shower. You use the bathroom. And you work your chakras. And you just stay in the moment. And what is, you need to believe that what is brought to you is for you every single day. Your experiences come from your thoughts. If you want to change your experiences, change your thoughts. And work on perfection.
You know how people get those little backward feelings, those feelings like that come from behind you, that you don't understand why you're worrying about that, and like you feel like it's a guidance, but I wonder why. Or if I'm being trickeried by something, you know?
The only thing I can tell you, sir, is that you need to get in tune. You need to get in tune with your body, and you'll know whether you're under psychic attack or not, and you'll know whether this is a growth experience or somebody manipulating you. You will know. It may take you a little time. I would begin to work on it if it were me. And that's about the best I can give you. This is your work. So if strange things
are
happening...
So if I have a hard feeling and a gut feeling at the same time, that's probably a go then, right?
I didn't understand. What was that question?
I said if I have a heart feeling and a gut feeling at the same time, that's probably a go for feeling that's the right way then.
You have a heart feeling and a gut feeling at the same time. I would try to...
Right.
Blend them. I would meditate on what that is, and I would blend them, and I would wait until my divine helper inside directed me. When you don't know what to do, do nothing. When you are uncertain, do nothing. Do not take any steps. Wait and ask for clarity. Ask for clarity. It will come, and it'll come in 72 hours. It's natural law.
So the thing that we've been taught as that first impulse is to act upon is we should not act upon that.
The gut feeling, it depends. If you're getting bit by a snake and you want to cut out the venom, you should act on it. But if you're doing something that involves the ego, and you really have to not come from the emotional point, but come from the point of where you know you're being directed. there's a difference. And it takes a while to learn that energy. It does take a while. But you will become sensitive. And, you know, it's a different feeling. A gut feeling reaction is a different feeling than a heart center. It feels different in the body. So maybe you're being asked to be aware that there's a difference in feeling and act with the lighter one, not with the heavier one. Always ask a question. Is it good for everyone concerned? Before you take a step, is it good for everyone concerned? Because if you want to hurt somebody because of what's going on, you're coming from the ego.
So the combination of like that feeling, heart feeling, and a mind decision all mixed up, you just got to
work through it. Yep. You got to work through it. Trust your gut and trust your heart.
Yeah.
Not the mind.
Yeah,
thank you for the call.
I used to never understand about the heart, but after I learned that the heart has much of the same, the tissue as the brain. When I really started learning.
You're talking about the physical body. I'm talking about energy. And I think you need to work with your energy. And thank you for the call.
So, there we go. So a little variety of calls for you for the little clutch of points. Now my browser's just failed me. Where have you gone? Yep, it's just completely crashed. Oh no, there it is. No, right.
Well, we have a crazy night. It's the night after the full moon, and there's still an awful lot of energy out there that will be here through Wednesday.
And let's talk about. What happened last Wednesday, Elizabeth?
Last Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, we went into the fall equinox.
Yeah, and the Yom Kippur day, you know, the day of Yom Kippur.
Yes.
What was going on that was so intense?
Well, what was going on for Yom Kippur this year, we're coming into a time of real decision for people. And I think that Yom Kippur was a powerful time this year based on a 30-year upcoming eclipse. Remember that it was 3 days before the full moon, and you feel that energy 3 days before and 3 days after. So Wednesday was the first sensing of the human body to what this pull was with this full moon. And it depends on your chart and where the energy falls in your chart as to what part of life it will affect you. For example, mine is in the 11th house. My Libra Aries is 11th house, 6th house. So it has to do with other people, with getting out to other people. And what message am I going to be doing with other people? And how am I going to be working with other people? And I do think that it's appropriate that this book is coming out during this energy time, which I did not plan. So Wednesday was the beginning of a new era. And it's not going to be too easy because we have a lot going on in the world that won't be positive. So we're being prepared.
So how does that now, I mean, that day was a day of extremes for me.
Yes.
You know, there was some extremely dire feeling and extremely joyful feeling, you know, all mm-hmm. in a very short space. And I thought, oh my God, I don't think I could handle that again. That was just horrible. And it did feel like, is this coming from within me as a cleansing? You know, like as mm-hmm. this bottle squeezes me, a little something squeezes out and it's like pops
Good.
Out and it's gone, you know.
Good. So that's a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It was transformational for you because it removed negative energy, and that's how I use the word transformation. And that's always positive. Sometimes when you go through a transformational experience, you feel like you've had a loss. But if you really look at it, you've had an adjustment.
Yeah, well, sometimes...
You have to have the old to go before the new can come.
That's right. Well, sometimes when you let go of your... Even the illusions that are hurting you, even when you let go of those, it still can hurt, can't it?
Yes, of course. In a different way.
Yeah.
Not in a destructive way, but in acknowledgement. I did not like that experience. I wish that it could have been different.
Mm. But, you know, in a similar way, if you have somebody who's, like, having a very long, drawn-out terminal disease, and they finally give out, and they finally pass, and there's this sort of big cluster of emotions that you get, like, oh, my God, I've lost them, but then I lost them ages ago, and, like...
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
There's all these different mixed feelings.
I had that with my identical twin. My identical twin passed away in 2013 with pancreatic cancer, and it was an intense time.
I'm sure it must have been. I'm very sorry. So,
of course, I'm very lucky because she chose to do it when Mother was here, and I had a lot of support and a lot of help.
Right. So, and you mean Mother of Amma?
Yeah.
So, where were we? Because that's, you know, an intense, these intense times. Let's have a couple of quickies. How do you best advise people who need to release grief, for instance?
Talk it out with somebody. Find a confidant. Find somebody that you can talk to. And somebody that can hear your frustrations. Once you state your frustrations to the universe, Jay, you're releasing. You're releasing when you're talking about it. When I worked with Louise Hay, and we went around to nursing homes to talk to people that were older, or we went around to hospitals where people were on their deathbed, she told us to ask them what their regrets were in life and to ask them what they wish were different. And as we talked with them, they became lighter because somebody was caring and somebody was listening and they were releasing, allowing them to do it without judgment. And that's what I recommend.
And indeed, it doesn't matter how old are you or how close to your deathbed you are. That's a good thing at any age, wouldn't you say?
Yes, communication. Sure it is.
Speak to people. Speak to your friends.
Talk it through.
Trust people.
When you talk it through, when both people come together with the focus of talking it through, peace begins. Peace begins because they both chosen to talk it through. That means there's a desire to balance it and work it out. Peace begins.
So, grief is a very predominant. So we were talking about PTSD earlier, mm-hmm. And what's your let's take a very brief approach. How would you take a what's your brief approach towards PTSD?
Well, I think that first of all, we have to acknowledge that our body holds memories, our body holds experiences longer than we would like. Our mind can dismiss it, our body can't. There's reasons for that, a million of them. So we have to nurture our bodies and understand that if we're going through post-traumatic syndrome, that there was a trauma. Now, the way that I have been taught to relieve that is to do present life regression work. Go back to the trauma. Sit in that movie theater. See it in front of you and change history. You change history by changing the outcome of the trauma. And that alleviates it. It's really strange how the mind works. I don't know why that happens, but it does. If you have somebody that knows what they're doing about regression, so you really need to work with a professional, and you work with what that block was, whatever it was, you can soften it in your mind. When you send those neuron energies to the brain, it can soften it. And then you need to give yourself time. I'm going to tell you what happened to me, Jay. You don't know. I rolled down a flight of stairs at the end of July.
Wow.
And my body went into trauma.
Oh, I bet. And
it was funny because I was climbing the stairs, and your instinct is to grab something when you know you're falling. And what I heard was just go with it. So I instantly relaxed. And I didn't break a bone. I didn't pull a muscle.
Oh, well done.
I did hit the side of my head, and I did have a concussion. I had to work with that, but I had sores, all kinds of muscular sores. So I kept sleeping all the time, and I said, why am I sleeping all the time? You know, it's been 2 weeks. But the trauma on the body lasts longer than in the mind. In the mind, it's gone in 3 days. If you can cry and get rid of it, but the lingering trauma is still on the body, and you have to give it time to heal. And you can't be impatient with it. Again, is people want to go to McDonald's. They want me to wave my hand and it's gone. That's not how it happens.
No. Your body remembers and body feels it. And
you can change history. Yeah. We have the power to change history through present life regression work. That's the message.
That is indeed brilliant. Error code 425, welcome to the end of journeys. So try and be brief. Who's that and where are you and what's your issue?
My name is Judy, and I'm a little bit north of Seattle, Washington, USA. And I just wanted to thank you so much for what you've presented, because it's been so validating and comforting to me to hear about your work.
Well, thank you, Judy.
I've had heart palpitations for, I don't know, probably 4 years, and they've never been able to find anything.
Yeah, well, we know what it is.
Yes,
I know. Ascension and seeding and nurturing the garden of your soul is what I suggest you read right away.
Okay.
So Ascension first and then garden. I love garden. I wrote garden in 6 weeks.
Okay. So I just wanted to thank you for that, because I feel so much better knowing that I'm really not going crazy and I'm not
physically
ill.
Do you do energy work?
Every day, all day. It does me. I
wonder
to tell it to back off.
Have you been to AMA? AMA comes
no.
to Seattle. Oh, she comes to Seattle first.
Really?
She'll be in Seattle. She comes on Memorial Day weekend to Seattle, so you have an opportunity to be with her. And I would love you to be in touch with me. We can talk in Skype. That would be wonderful, Judy. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your kind words.
Well, thank you for your work and sharing it. It takes the risk, and I admire that, too.
Yeah,
thank
it does.
You.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank
that
you so
nice.
Much. Lovely. Lovely. There we go. You have a new fan. a new aficionado.
Well, I do think that this is a great show. I'm glad it's being recorded. And I do think that many, many people will gain from the information that's been presented here tonight.
Sure, sure. Because we do get out of it, and also this goes onto YouTube and to various places, and you know, however many people are listening to it live, there's like a hundredfold who listen to it on YouTube.
And I want to absolutely suggest to the people that are listening to go to his website, spiritwolfradio.com, and make your donation, because Jay does great work, and this has to continue. There are too many people that do not have an opportunity to sit at their computer and listen to such precious information. This is great, Jay. I really honor it.
Thank you very much. And my personal YouTube is Studio 9 Jam. That's my personal channel, Studio Number 9 Jam, because I started it when I was just a musician, and somebody started to, you know, wanted me to produce them. Anyway, long story. Anywho, so we're just about to the close of this journey. Once again, your website, Elizabeth?
My website is www.new-visions.com. That's the little dash you put between phone numbers. new-visions.com.
There you go, new-visions.com. And you can find, as I said, my archives on Studio 9 Jam on YouTube, but you can also find everything on everbeyondradio.com. Thank you very much. This has been a presentation on Wolf Spirit Radio, Revolution Radio, Studio B, and Ever Beyond. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth.